Pledge of Allegiance, please. Thank you, everybody, for coming this evening. Before we get started into the agenda, I'd like to ask Chief Fenaris to please come up. It's a short announcement.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the board, members of the audience and the public. I'd like to quickly take this opportunity to request your assistance. Again, CDF County Fire and cooperation with the Firefighters Benevolent Association is hosting Operation Santa Claus this year. We put a bucket out at many locations, including the local fire station, Station 15. This bucket is filled by citizens of the community and the firefighters with unwrapped toys, and these toys are then donated to the Child Protective Services here in San Luis County, where Child Protective Services then takes it and gives it to children within their care, for the holiday season as well as throughout the year for birthdays and special events. It's a very important function. They're very grateful for this, and I'd like to add that in the last year, Station 15, under CDF's control, participated as well as in the last several years as the South Bay Fire Department, and consistently South Bay Fire Department and then Station 15 has been one of the top toy gatherers for all the buckets that we put out for County Fire. And that's, again, for the credit to the citizens here in Los Osos, and I'd like to thank them for that and strongly encourage them to continue that so that we can continue to be the highest supported battalion in CDF County Fire. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. Okay. I'd like to report out of closed session. In fact, I think I might have to, I just want to verify with Mr. McClendon that we took no reportable action at the last closed session meeting, adjourned at about 4 a.m. again. So we took no reportable action, and that's the results of that. I'd also like to do a quick report with a staff and board assistance on the Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting that occurred on December 1st and 2nd, Thursday and Friday, in the San Luis Obispo Regional Water Board offices. We had what's called an ACL hearing, Administrative Civil Liability Hearing, in front of the Regional Water Control Board. And they had a prosecutorial team, and they had the board who heard the hearing. It was kind of two-pronged. We had a team as well. Vice President at this time, would any other board members like to add any additional comments from the hearing there at this time? Mr. Blesky or Mr. McClendon, do you have anything to add about the hearing?
Not about the hearing, although I do have a oral report to give explaining the settlement later.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Blesky?
No comments.
Okay. So thank you. We do have we have tapes of the meeting, and you can there is one live streaming on AGP. Is that in the archive now? Let's ask Bob Lloyd from AGP. This is so you can watch the hearing. Watch him.
Look how short I am. Good evening, everyone. We're extremely thin today. We have archived the 2 days. It does measure out to be about 13 hours of total time for your pleasure of viewing. And we're also playing them on Channel 21 and... Oh, there we are. Wait. Okay. The Channel 21 and Channel 20... Of course, this meeting will be the primary play as of this evening for the next 3 to 4 days, and then I'll put the State Water Board back on because it's so long. So but they can be downloaded from the internet. If you go to slowspan.org, on the left-hand column, as you go down the page, you'll find local meetings, a button for local meetings on the left-hand side, and look for Los Osos, and you'll be able to get to it. The other thing, the January 5th, we will also be streaming that meeting as well, and I believe we're trying to work out an arrangement with the State Water Board up in Sacramento to do the same thing we did last time with them, which is stream their meeting, and then 2 or 3 days later, I will get a DVD from them. So that's what's up. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Just one other announcement I'd like to make at this time. We will be scheduling a special meeting so the board members who can attend the State Water Resources Control Board meeting that will be held this Friday, December 9th. So we will be having a special meeting so we can all attend. And now I'd like to turn it over to Mr. McClendon. We've had a lot of questions about the settlement agreement, the newspaper articles, et cetera, and we'd like to try to explain, make an attempt to explain to you how this works. And I think, Mr. McClendon will explain the settlement agreements to the public.
Hopefully they can read it at home. It is pretty small. Okay. What I've been asked to do tonight, and I think it's appropriate, is explain the rationale for the settlement that was made on the Measure B lawsuit. There's a lot of controversy on that, and there's very good reason for why that was done. And it was presented to the regional board last week, and I want the public to hear it tonight. This first, it disappeared. Okay.
The magic telephone.
Okay. Maybe we don't even need to do this, Bob.
Okay.
Okay. You know, I'll just do this down here. As the community knows, on the initiative petition that was filed, the CSD filed what is called a pre-ballot challenge. That is a challenge where they attempt to keep it off the ballot based upon certain deficiencies that supposedly are present in the petition itself. The California Supreme Court last summer, the California Supreme Court last summer on August 12th had a similar situation with one of the statewide propositions, Proposition 77, where a court had ruled on a pre-ballot challenge to that to keep it off the ballot. The California Supreme Court on August 12th reversed that and ordered it to be on the ballot and cited a prior case, Assembly versus Duke Majan, a 1982 California Supreme Court case. The quote from that case is instructive. It says, quote, "It has long been our judicial policy to apply a liberal construction to the power of initiative and referendum wherever it is challenged in order that the right be not improperly annulled. If doubts can reasonably be resolved in favor of the use of this reserve power, courts will preserve it." This has been stated in other cases, more recently a case from the Fourth District Court of Appeal, and it sets out two limited exceptions for pre-ballot challenges. It says, quote, "It is usually more appropriate to review constitutional or other challenges to ballot propositions or initiative measures after an election rather than to disrupt the electoral process by preventing the exercise of the people's franchise in the absence of," and this is key, "some clear showing of invalidity," unquote. And it gives one exception where the electorate lacks the power to adopt the proposal in the first instance. And the second exception is that the measure is legally invalid. But in both cases, it says that this will only apply to stop an election if there is a clear showing, if it's clearly invalid. So this was the challenge that the CSD faced in trying to win on its pre-ballot challenge to Measure B. As everyone knows, they won at the trial court. However, at the Court of Appeal, we had a... We had a stay that was issued, and in addition, we... had something unusual happen. 10 days after the stay was issued, the Court of Appeal issued what's called an order to show cause, ordering the judge from the Superior Court to appear before the Court of Appeal and explain why his ruling should be allowed to stand. Now, we can debate the merits of Measure B and the legality or not. Nobody has a crystal ball as to whether or not the court would have found it valid or invalid. But one thing that we do know by this court, this appellate court's ruling, is the appellate court found that the De Botari standard of clearly invalid was not met. Had the court found that the De Botari standard had been met, then the court would have upheld the trial court ruling. So at the very least, we know that the appellate court found that there was a significant question here, a very significant question mark over Measure B, so that they simply could not affirm the trial court ruling. That left open the prospect of, with no crystal ball, you would have the potential for the proponents of Measure B who had been sued, had they won, could come back against the CSD and request that the court award what are called private attorney general fees. There's a provision in the California law that says that if someone vindicates an important public right, and the right to, and as you saw, the right to initiative, referendum, and recall is one of those important constitutional rights, that they can go back to the court and have what's called these private attorney general fees awarded. Now, there's a couple of things that are interesting about these fees. One, they are not awarded based upon a public interest agency rate, a rate multiplier. So, unfortunately, we don't have the technology to show this to you like I had hoped, but I had a couple of examples here from my own fairly recent experience with this, representing clients as a private attorney general. In one case it's a policy of our firm in succeeding in public interest litigation against public agencies that we offer to settle. We offered to settle the fees at $15,000 for what would have actually been a case that had not gone on very long. The public agencies that were involved in this rejected the offer, and then the court subsequently awarded a lodestar on this at $300 an hour for all the attorney work, saying that that was actually on the low end of the lodestar, and then awarded a multiplier of 1.5. So the $15,000 offer, which was rejected at the in settlement, the court turned around and awarded $34,470, so more than double what the offer was. We have another one. It's the Walmart case in San Marcos, where the lodestar is at $350 an hour. It's a more recent lodestar, and with a 2.0 multiplier, the fee amount goes easily into six figures. And this was a case that was very similar to the case that we were in. This was a case where it was a referendum instead of an initiative. Walmart challenged the referendum on a pre-ballot challenge. They lost, and the Court of Appeal said that the sponsors of the referendum, just like the sponsors of the referendum of Measure B, were entitled to their private attorney general fees for vindicating an important public right. So that case is actually still pending on the issue of attorney's fees, but how it applies here is we had a situation where the district had the potential exposure to significant attorney's fees. I estimated that the attorney's fees could be in excess easily with a lodestar and a multiplier in excess of $300,000. We went back to the case lawyers and we negotiated that down, saying in order to obtain certainty on the side of both parties, that there, one, on the side of the case lawyers, that there will be some attorney's fees that are recovered, and on the side of the CSD, that we won't have to fight about this, potentially lose on the issue of attorney's fees and pay $300,000+. We negotiated those down, and how we did it is we said, one, we will take a public agency rate. We won't take a lodestar. We will take a lower public agency rate and use that as the basis for your hourly rate. Secondly, there will be no multiplier on that fee amount. So it will be straight time at a public agency rate. And then there was some slight discounting on that, and that's how we ended up with the number of $125,000. So the whole key here was, and I believe Star apply and had a multiplier. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Are there any questions from the board at this time? Director Tacker?
Mr. McClendon, can you dispel the rumor that Mr. Barrow received a check of $125,000?
Yes. Zero. The fee award is to compensate for the attorney's time on this. It's not for the enrichment of individual parties. This is part of a private attorney general. The concept is that the fight is done for the general public welfare. It's not done for individual gain. So there is no concept built into the private attorney general doctrine of enrichment for individual litigants.
Yes. Is there any other comments or questions from the board at this time? Okay. Thank you, Mr. McClendon, for that explanation. I think that helps helps explain about the settlement. Okay. Go on to the next item on the agenda, and that's oral administrative reports. I'd like to turn it over to you, Mr. Buskey, for your report.
Madam President, this is oral reports. I think the public will notice that we had there was a stack of status reports on the WILD and progress on the various tasks we've been doing for the district. I just want to touch briefly on a couple of the things. And the interim district general manager, I've been working and late into the night. The wastewater project, though, is the one I wanted to touch on a couple of things. Attached to the status report is an exhibits list, and I believe that some documents that have been requested by interested parties in the community may have been left off that list. So I would encourage anyone with an interest to mark that list up and get it back to me via email or whatever means is convenient, and we'll update that. And we'll make sure that those documents do get in there. I do know that I am waiting for a couple of CDs from various vendors that have been requested to put in the, be put into the analysis. There's another status on the wastewater project funding. We had an immediate action drill put onto us when assessing the impacts of bonds that were a requirement of the second offer from the SR to maintain the SRF funding that were put on us by the State Water Board. That analysis was completed in about a day, day and a half, and helped to shape our decision matrix on whether to accept the ultimatum from the State Board. However, a remaining task that will come into play in the future is to, it's like the EIR, the zoning issues that are would come into play if and when we determine a site out of town, which is, as everyone knows, that effort is ongoing right now. That information was not relayed to the project manager. So his comments reflect pretty much a standard approach at this time to how to site a plant. I would consider those comments preliminary because the review of the condition of the existing documents hasn't been completed and incorporated into the analysis at this time, and doesn't reflect that certain documents can be updated and or modified to move the project along. Also, as part of the analysis and some of the things we're looking to mitigate the CSD's septic systems, primarily at the fire station and our other sites, we took a look at some prepackaged plants that have small outputs that could be put into place fairly quickly to mitigate the leachate effects or to solve any problems that might be identified at the CSD's current discharge locations. And that's actually part of, that's large part of what is the subject of the ACL that we heard on Thursday and Friday last week. In addition to that, that was just a records research. There is a lot of technology out there that can be used either as an interim or permanent, and that's yet to be determined because we have to work with the regulatory agencies on if they're going to want to do that. So that has been initiated. The other thing we're looking at as part of that is that there are some small systems that are out there as well that may offer some either interim or potentially with the regulatory agency's blessings, more of a long-term solution. So the reality of it is in the past, those have not been allowed by the regulatory agencies as a permanent solution. So that's the on the back page of that report, you will notice that. The table of documents is attached, and then a couple of examples of some of the technology that's available from prepackaged plants. Is also attached just for informational purposes. And with that, on the status report, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions that the board may have.
Vice President Fouché?
Dan, do you, Do you have any idea how often we pump the septic tanks out at Isidoro and Bay Ridge Estates?
No, I don't, but we can easily identify that. Our district engineer is not here tonight, and he is the keeper of all that. Pretty familiar with that.
Yeah, maybe we can get that information, how much it costs to do that each time.
The written report. On November 18th, early in the morning, about 7:40, 7:30, Bernard Construction was working in the area 17th and Morrow Avenue. And on the first dip of their bucket, they hooked a unmarked old SDR-35 pipe lateral from an old hydrant location that didn't show up on any of our old maps, including the county maps. The reason why I bring up the type of pipe is because it's a very inexpensive pipe used for cost savings. The type of pipe that we standard on is a C900 pipe, which is the specification that the American Water Works Association specifies. And that pipe's significantly tougher, and it's hard to say if it would have survived the type of hit it took. I probably would have basically unplugged the pipe at the fitting across the street, and we probably would have had the same result. But the cheaper pipe that was put in shattered. We lost about 100,000 gallons of water, and if you're familiar with that topology out there, it came roaring down the hill. And because of the super elevation on the street, one side being lower than others, those on the low side of the street, there was about, I think we can count the houses, I think it was five or six homes. It was actually eight that sustained some degree of upset, and then there was five that really took a pretty good pop, with three that had interior flooding. And specifically, 1427 17th was the Thorpe residence, and the others were 1445 17th, which was the Tollers, and the owner is Mr. Bob Ward, and 1455 is the Castillo residence, and the most damage done to the Toller residence. It pretty much inundated the whole thing. There was a complicating factor. A week before Thanksgiving is just, you know, it's never good to have something like this happen. It was said to, utility crews that we see a lot of these over the courses of our careers. But anybody that's had this happen to them, they have it happen once. And I'll tell you what, you never get used to it, especially for those that had the interior flooding. It was pretty wicked. However, we still have some follow-ups to do with the citizens to make sure that our cleanup efforts and our restoration and our insurance carrier is handling their case to their satisfaction. We did provide some temporary lodging to the Tollers because the house, they had to tear the carpet out and everything. And for the Tollers, it was, I know this doesn't have much to do with the technical part of this, but this was the first time that Mrs. Toller was going to see her mother in 10 years, and they had a whole large party coming over for a reunion for Thanksgiving. And I haven't heard back from them, but I understand that it went off fairly well. And Hanahan taking the lead on that, provided office support to the field crews to get them out there right away. Bernard Construction, and they really jumped to, and that contractor is just solid on their feet when it comes to presence of mind. Not only did they deal with the field situation, but they had called the cleanup agency prior to our call in, and we basically took that call over from those specialists. So they were on top of this thing. They went in and cleaned up the front yards and cleaned up the streets as very well. They even came back and did spot work for us. And I think, considering the situation that Bernard's in, because of the complications of our wastewater project, it says a lot about their character, and I think that needs to be acknowledged. The other thing, so I'm acknowledging it. The other thing is that our utilities crews, when you walked out on the site, you couldn't tell the difference between our contractor, Bernard, and the utilities crew. They work so well together. That's always a good sign of teamwork. Margaret Faulkner basically ran the show out there. She did a yeoman's effort to make sure that everybody's... to do the best she could to take care of the people that were damaged and you know, their homes completely disrupted. And it also, you know, so I can't say enough about her. She really just stood tall and rose to the occasion. Rob Carnes, who's working with MWH, also chipped in to make sure that everything and anything was done on records research just to support the making sure we isolate that pipe so it wouldn't open up again. And he provided other support to make sure that data flowed out there, and other folks were kept in the line, especially myself and the board, and questions were answered for the citizens. I don't want to belittle the thing or overlook it. It is something that happens when we're dealing with water mains from time to time. But again, I want to emphasize is that the urgency of taking care of people's homes is not lost on us. And with that, I'll answer any questions that the board may have.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Buskey. Director Sennett?
Yes, thank you for the report. Mr. Buskey, is there anything we can do to avoid incurring these undocumented facilities? Do we hold the as-built for the pipes, or does the county hold it in their records?
We hold the as-built, and this line was not shown on the as-built. It was an abandoned fire hydrant lateral, and instead of pulling the pipe out from across the street, or they didn't pull it out and they left a fitting in, the valve was 2 feet under the ground, so there was no indication that the lateral, the old lateral, was still connected. We basically saw the hydrant stub, standard current hydrant stub, and there was a valve there. So it took them a while to find the valve. That was the delay and shut it off. We hold the as-builts, and these are pipes that are not marked on the as-builts. This kind of goes with the, you know, just basically on a parts draw years ago on a PO that's somewhere now. But we'll look into it.
Okay. Any questions? Any other questions on this? I just have one, Mr. Blesky. Could you explain how the insurance works on an accident like this, how it works for our district or our contractors or the county or whoever?
Well, the contractors carry insurance to cover incidences like this if it's due to their own negligence. In this case, it's pretty clear that it wasn't marked, and the Bernard was acting totally reasonably, and also the line was shallow. It kind of dipped up, and pretty good surprise to him. So in that case, it wouldn't be appropriate to go after their insurance, because they could come back and just say, look, it wasn't marked, and that's a legitimate argument, and we would. So, you know, we just nixed that out there. It was really simple to determine that. So we carry, liability insurance to cover those types of activities that are caused by, actions that our crews may do. And certainly having, we inherited the documents from the county. Well, we inherit the liability as well. We get it lock, stock, and barrel. So, unfortunately, we kind of bought that one, and our insurance carrier will go down and take care of replacing in kind what the residents on 17th Street lost.
Okay, thank you. Are we anywhere near knowing what that amount would be, or is that the amount of the claim or amount of our coverage? Do you know what the amount of our coverage is?
I don't have the coverage amount, and I don't know what the total amount is.
Mrs. Vega, do you have something to add?
We can look that up and bring that back.
Bob, I believe that policy, we have a liability umbrella for all kinds of things, and so And, you know, I'm sure it's in the millions of dollars of coverage, so I'm sure we'll be fine. You know, something fairly similar happened a few years ago, not as extensive, but a couple of houses when we were putting in a drainage project a few years ago in the same neighborhood. We had a problem with that, and our insurance company stepped in and took care of everything, and there wasn't, you know, per se any increase in our premium the next time or anything. So I think they kind of expect these things to come up when you're in public agency.
Thank you very much. Any other?
And we will come back as we know more about the claim status. We'll be reporting that. And also when we have everything finally resolved, too, I think we need to keep it in front of, you know, in front of the public and also in front of the board.
Thank you. You know. Director Sennett, did you have something else to add?
I asked one time, and I believe, I think it was Bruce Buell who told me it was $5 million. But that's what I think it is.
Okay. It's a substantial amount.
Okay, good. Thank you. Any other comments from the board at this time? The next item on our calendar is the written administrative reports, and we have some written reports from CDF, the utility. Okay, are there any questions on the other reports from any of the directors? Okay. Now we're going to move to the consent calendar, and there are 4 through 10. There are 6 items on the consent calendar. Do I have anybody who would on the board who would like to pull any items off the consent calendar for further discussion? The only thing I would like to do is I have to ask Mr. McClendon a question, because I've just done a cursory review of all the minutes, and I would like to reserve the right to amend them in the future without pulling the agenda item. Can I do that?
Don't we have approval of the minutes on as one of the...
Right, I just didn't want to pull it,
uh-huh.
But I also want to reserve the right to amend them in the future. If I...
Well, probably the best way, since it's a board action, would be to just hold them in abeyance, the approval of the prior minutes, and just take that at our next meeting.
Okay.
It give the board more chance to look those over.
Okay. So for because there's so many sets of minutes, there's at least 6 sets of minutes, I'm requesting that we continue that item so we have more time to read them all over, and you folks have some more time to comment on them. So we're going to approve those at the... at the 15th, at the meeting on the regular meeting on the 15th instead. So I just continue that item. Okay. Yes, Mr. Breske?
Madam President, we have a couple of other items too, 9 and 10.
Okay. I didn't see those reports either, but can we do those tonight without a report or no? They're pretty simple.
We can make those assignments right now if you so choose, okay. And that would be my preferred way of doing it anyway.
Okay. Okay, here's what I'd like to do. There is no paper in our booklet about these items 9 and 10, but I'd like to read them for you and tell you what we'd like to do on those. Of course, we're going to take public comment first. But the number 9 is ratify the president's nomination to fill vacant Morro Bay National Estuary Program appointments. And the action requested is ratify nominations. And I've nominated myself, Lisa Schicker, to be the receive the appointment for the Morro Bay National Estuary Program. And I've nominated Chuck Cicini, or appointed Chuck Cicini, as the alternate. So that's item 9. And item 10 is ratify president's nominations of directors to serve as ex officio liaisons to the Environmental and Finance Standing Advisory Committees. And we've kind of been through this before, but we were trying to get 2 committees up and rolling. And Chuck Cicenia is going to be the liaison to the Environmental Committee, and Director Sennett, Steve Sennett, would be the liaison to the Finance Standing Advisory Committee. So those are the only actions we were going to take tonight that don't have written paper about them. And just to also make the announcement that we're still looking for more committee applications. We don't have enough committee applications yet, so we're not doing that tonight. We're not making appointments to committees tonight. We have every intent to get that going, but it's not going to be tonight. So I'd like to keep it open for a couple more weeks. But these will be the ex officio liaisons to the committees if we vote on the consent calendar. Is that good enough for all the items, or is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, that's what staff's recommending at this time, Madam President.
Okay, other than item number 7, which is going to be continued, all the meeting minutes. You surely can comment on those tonight. Everything in the audience to kind of gauge your time on that. We're going to have public comment on this part and then public general comment, and then we're going to adjourn at 10 p.m. to close session. So, okay, is there anybody who'd like to comment on the consent calendar? Please come up.
President Schicker, I'm sorry. Before we start the public comment, we set the public comment timer for 3 minutes. At the 1 minute mark, the yellow light goes on, but there's also like a warning beep. That doesn't mean your time is over. It means you have another minute left.
Thank you.
So we're doing
That's
it a little
good.
Different this time.
So yeah, you have a little bit more warning. You have a 1 minute more when the yellow light goes off, right? Thank you.
Richard Margetson. Under the utility, the utility manager's report of October 24th, here's a perfect example of why you need to get committees going again as soon as possible. I'm going to read a section out of here. Contract 6, which was the replacement of the substandard service lines. If you remember, months ago, we had a long discussion of what money was available for that contract, how much was going to be required per service line, how much work they were going to get done in a day, and how many were going to be replaced. Well, there's no... I don't know what word I want to use here, oversight at this point... additional oversight at this point. And the line that bothers me out of here is the last line of this section on page 6 of, I think it's page 6. Service line replacement crews aim to replace 30 service lines per month. Staff is pleased with the progress being made to date. That's nowhere near the number that was projected back then. And if they're only replacing 30 service lines a month in a 20-day work schedule with five guys, those estimates that were given us months ago aren't going to be anywhere near the cost per service line. And this needs some serious review, because the board at that time, I think, set a limit of $225,000 or $250,000 for this part of the project, and that looked like the high end, even with the backhoe. If this is correct, there's no way that amount of money is going to cover the replacement of these lines. And they've added another 12 lines to the total. That's it.
Thank you, sir. Would anyone else like to speak during public comment about the consent calendar? Okay, I'm closing public comment for the consent calendar. Any other comments or questions from the board?
It stopped after 3 seconds. The financial statement for the period of 9/30, that includes the approximately $4 million that you have left over from the state first loan check, $6.4 million. Is that right?
Could you point to the page?
I read the agenda packet this afternoon at the CST office, and I had some questions about that. There was a pretty long document. It says you spent about $2 million of the $6.4 million. Is that correct?
Keep going with your comments, and we'll answer your questions at the end of your comment, please. Just
okay.
Keep going.
Okay. Who is the person... some of these items weren't in the packet this afternoon. The staff report was one of them. The fill the vacant Morbay Estuary, who's elected to do that? That's my second question.
Okay, got it.
Okay. That's the only two questions I have, except I would like to know, was there a summary of the staff report already? There was. Okay. Thank you. Those are the two questions.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. I'm closing public comment on consent calendar. And in answer to those questions,
are you going to answer those questions?
If you please sit down, I'd be happy to answer those questions. Okay. In answer to those questions, you just came in late, so you didn't get to hear. I'm nominated myself for the estuary with Chuck Sassini as alternate. And we're continuing committee applications until the December 15th meeting. And could you explain he had the questions about the financial aspects. Would you be able to comment on that?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
He was asking about the wastewater amount, the $4 million.
Basically it had to do with the first payment to the contractors that decreased the first disbursement from a $6 million plus or minus amount to the current amount of, I think it's now about right around 3.6 to 4 million, and we still have some outstanding charges on that coming in, plus the contractors' invoices.
Thank you very much. Okay, could I have a motion on the adoption of the consent calendar and the oral and written administrative reports? The only item that's pulled is the minutes. Yes, the only item that's pulled is number 7, prior meeting minutes.
I move we approve the consent calendar and continue item 7 to our next meeting.
Do you have a second?
I'll second it. Okay.
Director Tacker?
Yes.
Vice President Fouché?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Aye.
President Schicker?
Yes. Okay, the next item on the agenda is general public comment. And two things I'd like to say. Again, it's 8:30. It's 8:40 right now, and we're going to go to 10. How many people think they're going to speak? Would like to speak? Okay. We're probably going to go to 10, but I would like to extend the comment period to 3 minutes tonight, just because we're not having any other items other than general public comment. So we're going to do 3 minutes, but I'd ask you to stick to two if you can. It'd be great too. And I'm going to start out general public comment with Mr. David Edge from the county. He's agreed to come and speak to us first this evening, and after that. The other thing I'd like you to do is to line up on the side of the room and put some chairs over there so you can wait in line, so you don't have to stand up. Thank you. Mr. Edge.
I'll try and get this microphone up without breaking it, Bob. Thanks, Madam Chair. Members of the board, it's nice to be here. I'm David Edge, County Administrative Officer, speaking on behalf of the county. Following up on comments at the board meeting this morning, President Schicker and about half a dozen residents of Los Osos spoke during Board of Supervisors' public comment to rumors of the county staff being involved in discussions about potential dissolution of the CSD, and I addressed them at that meeting, and I'm here to echo the comments that I made this morning. The essence of those comments is that the Board of Supervisors' position has remained the same since at least 1998. The board believes, and the county's position is that the governance of Los Osos is a matter for the citizens of Los Osos. We had several people angry at us on both sides because we took no position on the recall. We were neither in favor of the recall nor opposed to the recall. We dealt with the duly elected body at that time. the recall was successful. There is now a different duly elected body. That's the body that we work with. We take no position in favor of or against dissolution. That's entirely a matter for the citizens of Los Osos. The board is not involved in advocating for dissolution. No members of the staff acting on behalf of the county are involved in advocating for dissolution. We have had, I explained to President Schicker after the meeting during a break, that we have numerous phone calls that, to the county. I handle most of them, wanting to know a variety of things about how the American system of government works. I guess they get the British guy because we actually have to learn this stuff in order to become citizens. So they give it to me. And one of the things that people are surprised to find out is that this is a democracy and that the county is not a superior agency to the CSD, and the county cannot just take over the CSD because some people want it. I thought it was perhaps Karen's comment on what I was saying. So. Sorry. Very, very briefly, we are receiving a lot of telephone calls from people who are concerned. Obviously, as you're aware, people are calling asking about a dissolution process. Similarly to when people were calling and asking about a recall, we simply say this is how the process works, and the county isn't the lead agency in determining a dissolution process. That goes through LAFCO, the Local Agency Formation Commission, that has representatives from various governmental agencies, including special districts, on it. And it's up to LAFCO. There's a particular process. We refer people to the LAFCO executive director for further information. And that's it. There is no county representative going to the State Water Board meeting on Friday. Yes, that rumor arose also. I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you, Mr. Edge. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Do you have any other questions? Any other questions from the board at this time? Vice President? No? No.
Okay,
just thank you very much for coming and explaining. Thank you.
Just thank you, Mr. Edge.
Good evening, board, staff, and public. My name is Al Barrell, and in the spirit of Christmas, I'd like to offer a Christmas present to the community. It's negotiable, but before I do that, since David Edge is here and he is the county administrator, I would like to recommend to see if he would provide a scoping meeting if we go forward with in a different direction. A scoping meeting with all the agencies that are stakeholders. That was done by the county. Shirley Bianchi hosted such a meeting in 2000. It's very effective in bringing everybody on board with whatever you're about to do. Am I talking too loud? Okay, I'll turn this down. Anyway, as you know, I've been working for an alternative that was environmentally protective since 2000 in August when the project became a mechanical plant in the middle of town. So in that light, I have, as you know, I've done some work about pond systems and step collection system. Now I have discovered and have been working with the last 3 weeks with a nonprofit company that has done, in 2003, they did over 250 facilities, public facilities like water and wastewater for rural communities. And they can provide us with financing for alternative project. They can provide us with startup money. They can give us free consulting on a number of things, free technical advice, in other words, and they can work with the regulatory agencies, which they have been working with for 30 years. They can give our staff and our board assistance in dealing with the difficult issue. And having said that, I'll move on to my next topic, which is I hope everyone has a wonderful holiday and everybody gets in the holiday spirit. And let's forget about our differences and count our blessings. When you go home at night, you have food, water, refrigerator.
For standing the ground that the community asks you to stand, for standing up for this community, for being there for us, for why we put you in office. Thank you for standing behind this community and for an affordable, sustainable treatment facility. I have one question, though. Every time I drive down the road, I see that we're consistently maintaining this site, which the judge just recently ruled that we can't build a treatment facility there due to Measure B. Now, I know you might want to try to repeal that or something, but currently it's against the law to build a treatment facility there. Why are we paying this water truck to drive around and spray water every day? And water, isn't that our most valuable resource? And aren't we trying to conserve water? I haven't heard this addressed, and maybe I missed something, but why are we supporting this unsustainable project at this point? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Blesky.
I can provide some information on that. The county dust control permit requires that they hold that sand down using water. Now, I know that at the Bernard Construction Yard, they used a jet head to basically tap into the upper aquifer to use the upper aquifer water. I'm not sure if they're doing that out at the Tri-W site, but we can follow up and report back to do that. So.
Okay. I think Mr. Lewis's question was more, is it still because we're still in the midst of things?
Oh, yes.
I think that's
why
really
has the site not been shut down? Basically because we're still in the middle of these negotiations, both with the state, regional, and with the contractors. And every time we've attempted to sit down and talk to our contractors on a wide variety, not specifically Monterey Mechanical, we just haven't had time to sit down really and scope that out. But any time we try to do that, the state slaps us down, which is actually in a breach of their contract. But any time we do that, it just has a tendency to incite state and regional staff.
Thank you. Mr. Bearden?
Don Bearden, Los Osos. I'm not happy with the direction this board is taking the citizens of Los Osos. You are conducting more business in closed session than in the open session. And when you come out of closed session, you have nothing to report. You ran on a promise of open government. Closed sessions are not open government. Last Thursday was a good example. You announced settlements of 5 lawsuits, but did not tell us the settlement agreements. Al Barrow and Case getting $125,000 for a settlement is ridiculous. That was just for Measure B lawsuit. What were the settlement agreements in the other 4 cases? How much did Keith Swanson and CCLO get to settle their cases? The path that you have chosen is lawsuits. I don't know where you're going to get the money to pay for all these high-priced lawyers. I don't like you using my money for lawsuits instead of building a sewer. I don't think the contractors will last past Friday when the SRF loans funds are officially lost. It's most likely that they will...
Good evening, President Schicker and board. I am Stuart Denker, and my wife and I own property and live in Baywood Park. At last week's CCRWQCB, I am what a bunch of letters, hearing, it was illuminating to me, and I think to many people, to see the seasoned professionalism and wisdom displayed by former LOCSD counsel John Seitz and former general manager Bruce Buell. Their performances each underscore to me the loss to the LOCSD and the community of these 2 talented individuals. Sad to say, their equals are not currently in evidence on the interim CSD team. Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Mr. Denker. Next speaker, please.
Thank you. It was interesting for me to hear his comments because it's very similar to my own. Barbara Aiko, Prohibition Zone in Baywood Park. Director Schicker, Tacker, Fouché, Cicena, and Sennett. Your expensive interim lawyer and expensive interim manager have cost us huge sums in wages, while, in my opinion, representing us ineffectively at the state and regional water board hearings and indeed here at our own CSD meetings. At the state water board hearings, they looked like deer in the headlights. At the regional water board hearings, they hardly spoke. It is time to admit we were better and more competently served by Bruce Buell and John Seitz. It's time to stop listening to your choir and cheerleaders. It's past time to listen to those of us who must shoulder the heavy financial sewer burden. Terminate your contract with your interim lawyer and interim manager. Take Bruce Buell and John Seitz off administrative leave and put them back to work. No, beg them to return to work full time.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
Gretchen Clark, Los Osos, CSD directors. According to the Tribune article this morning, a $125,000 cash settlement with Burke, Williams, and Sorensen was reached on November 20th. My question to the district, why would we be paying this cash settlement in the first place? Wasn't the Measure B suit originally calendared in November and then in December at the Second District Court of Appeals withdrawn? This is troubling for two reasons. One, that the $125,000 will be paid out of state loan proceeds, which we have to pay back to the state. And two, just 3 days later, on November 23rd, the district signed an engagement agreement letter with this same law firm to provide general legal and bound counsel services. The firm will charge at least $25,000 for each bond it is able to secure for the district. Hourly fees will range from $105 per hour for paralegals to $240 an hour for lead attorneys. Regarding potential conflicts of interest, property owners and working families, our car is stalled. The train is coming down the tracks, and the board has given the keys to the people who stalled the car. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Clark. Mr. Perkins?
President Schicker, board members, I'm not an attorney, and I'm not going to try to argue the merits of your decision to drop your appeal Proposition B. However, I would like to remind you of your promise to foster transparent and accessible governance. At a recent meeting, President Schicker announced that during closed session, there had been no reportable actions. No reportable actions. We had to find out by reading in the local press that you had dropped the appeal of the legality of Measure B. And to make it worse, we discovered that you had paid Mr. Barrow $125,000. Yes, $125,000, big ones, for the privilege of your dropping your appeal. We learned this only because you had to give the Regional Water Board a copy of the settlement agreement. Either you thought that dropping the appeal was not a reportable action, or you deliberately misled the public. $125,000. Yes, that is the amount of money that you agreed to give Mr. Barrow when you agreed to drop the CSD's appeal of Measure B. I am outraged and shocked to see that you agreed to pay that amount. For what? So you could make it easier to get around the provision of Measure B? Or was it really just another way of now saying we cannot build a wastewater treatment plant on the Tri-W site? Come on. What makes matters worse are the recent actions you took in regard to the measure. On October the 31st, a Sunday, you faxed correspondence to the State Water Board with the terms of the proposed settlement that would have reinstated the low-interest loan. In this proposed settlement, you agreed to do all that you could do to invalidate Measure B. On the following day, Monday, November the 1st, the State Water Board informed you that in correspondence that the terms are not acceptable. On the following day, just 2 days after you tell the state that you want to invalidate Proposition B, Mr. Barrow's attorney signs the agreement. If you dropped your appeal, was your negotiation with the State Water Board in good faith, or did you always want to drop the appeal?
so much for transparent, so much for your promises of transparent and accessible governance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Perkins. I apologize. It sounds like you probably came in late. And just to reiterate just 2 points from Mr. Perkins' comments, and that's this. Mr. Barrow didn't get any money. It didn't go to Mr. Barrow. It was only it was attorney's fees. It wasn't Mr. Barrow's money. And we totally negotiated in good faith with the state. We didn't do anything to jeopardize that state loan until all hope was lost. Nothing. I stand by those comments. Chigger? Yes, Mr. McClendon.
May I just, for those who are curious, the specific provision governs...
Right, Los Osos. Call it any number you wish. It was unethical and immoral, and you all know it. By now, it must be crystal clear that the CSD's strategy is to strip all funds from the CSD, destroy any possibility of obtaining the SRF loan, and to destroy relationships with all state and county agencies connected with enforcing a Los Osos wastewater project, thus fulfilling their real intent to stop the sewer, millions of dollars of our money down the drain. Anyone following the events of the various meetings with the state and with Assemblyman Sam Blakely can only conclude that actual facts totally contradict LOCSD member statements. They tell officials one thing at meetings and then come back and tell the community something entirely different and then meet behind closed doors and make decisions which they do not reveal to the community, which are counter to the best interests of Los Osos. The only conspiracy and corruption that is in existence here is being perpetrated by the five members of the LOCSD and their hired guns and supporters. Now the LOCSD has agreed to close down all pending litigation, including the challenge to Measure B, by paying a total of $478,000 of our money to their lawyer cronies who have effectively lost the cases. Had the Measure B appeal been heard this month, there is no doubt it would have been adjudged illegal, and the LOCSD board members would then have had no statute to justify their destructive behavior. This has been a carefully choreographed plan, which will be capped by fines brought down by the Regional Water Quality Control Board's January 5 ruling, plus contractor penalties. Now they expect the community to believe that they are really committed to building another type of sewer at another location, neither of which has even been clearly identified. Anybody want to buy a bridge?
Thank you, Ms. Albright. Next speaker, please.
Hi, my name is Sylvia Rosenberg. I live in Baywood Park. Last Thursday and Friday, I attended the Water Quality Board hearing, from which I learned just how much the CSD owes John Seitz and Bruce Buell for their knowledge of the history of the Los Osos sewer issues and the competent and clear way they expressed themselves when presenting testimony and answering questions put to them by the Water Board members. I'm therefore wondering just why we continue to waste money by maintaining the services of the two gentlemen from out of town who you brought in to replace them. Their apparent knowledge of the many complex issues concerning Los Osos paled when compared with Bruce Buell's understanding of the history and future needs and Mr. Seitz's reasoned legal presentation on behalf of the CSD board. I feel the CSD would be much better served by correcting their past mistake and reinstating Mr. Buell and Mr. Seitz. This town is so close to bankruptcy that to continue to pay the exorbitant fees to Mr. McClendon and Mr. Blesky for services that seem to be of such little value. I hope the board will think about our town's future by trying to prevail upon the Cal State Water Board to reinstate the low interest
quality control board hearing last week, Thursday and Friday, and you guys did an incredibly wonderful job in your presentation, and I hope that the days and times are put on the video, the AGP video, so people will watch Thursday. Was that December 1st or 2nd? December 1st, around 4 p.m., is when it gets interesting. And thank you for setting the record straight. Um, So I would like to request maybe somebody could look into AGP video, putting the time and the date on the video if possible. So anyone who doesn't by this time take everything the Tribune says with a large grain of salt should take heed, because it's really not fair and balanced reporting. And let's see. Again, I thank you for putting the environment, intelligence, and the people first. And I'm happy to see water conservation measures being put in place tonight. There are a lot of good people that stand with you. Thank you for your dedication.
Thank you very much, Mr. Perlman.
Hello, Board. My name is Alon Perlman, 4th Street Prohibition Zone. You have many supporters in town. In fact, in this very room, Ben DeFada, Alan Martin, Doug Litherland, Arnie Citron, Jamie Rossetti, Michael Burke, Dan Burke, George Taylor, Gwen Taylor, and many others support you, but have decided not to speak tonight so that you can continue and do your CSD work and just move forward. I'll read a statement. These people attended the December 6, 2005 CSD meeting and chose not to speak in order to conserve the CSD's valuable time. We support the CSD and want you to move on and take care of your agenda items post-haste. From myself, I would say it makes no sense to filibuster a filibuster. And as regards the staff that's present, people who complain about the cost of staff present should be aware that their 3 minutes then go to these people who can spend their time much better not being here and taking care of other CSD business. So the way to do it is support the CSD, allow you to continue, interact whenever absolutely necessary, not repeat ad infinitum things that had been repeated ad infinitum previously. Green light means... Well, it really doesn't matter. I've got more to say, and I shall not say it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Perlman. Okay. Next speaker, Ms. Fergus.
Good evening, Board, and everyone from Los Osos. I watch the meetings in Sacramento. I tape them, and the Central Coast Water Quality Board. I watched them several times, and if I was confused, I was able to rewind it until I thought I was thoroughly familiar with what you were saying. And my conclusion after these many watchings was that you're out of your depth with this project. And in spite of Mr. Blexley's optimism, you'll end up literally in deep doo-doo. So now that the Water Board has dug out the secrets, the things that we didn't hear from you, I can find no fault or error in their prosecution's case. They have an in-depth understanding of the entire history of the sewer and all the players and all the underlying maneuverings and also of the unofficial board members. You've been less than open in your decisions that affect the community and spent money on lawsuits without sharing this information or getting public input. It took a meeting with a regional board to pry out the truth. Your hired experts will be gone with the wind or gone with the bankruptcy of the CSD. Obviously, you haven't studied the results of the effect of the advice of Rasputin on the Tsar. The Tsar lost his throne through bad counsel and left his country in chaos. I think the same thing is going to happen here. Those who ignore history are condemned to repeat it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fergus. Mr. Fergus?
John Fergus, Prohibition Zone. I can't beat that one. That was my better half, absolutely, right there. Well, I've been following a lot of what's been going on, and I was there Thursday at the regional board meeting. Friday, caught up with most of the tape material and so on. There are a lot of things I could say, very derogatory, or express anger, or any number of things. But I really don't want to get myself uptight in order to throw a lot of barbs out. So I had a question, and it's on a positive note. And Al Burrow wished all of us a Merry Christmas and kind of, you know, make up and make good or what have you. My question is, when you go up Friday, are you looking at any ways to resurrect the SRF loan? That's one question, if that's going to be happening. And my other question regards if it does appear as even a remote possibility, are you willing to consider accepting the present site, the TRIW site, which is controversial but appears to be the only one we can get money for? So those are the two questions I have. Thank you. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. Fergus. Mr. McLennan?
I'll take a stab at the second question. Just for clarification, the sticking point with the state on its what I call final offer version 2.0 was not the TRIW site. The sticking point, which whether it's me, whether it's former counsel John Seitz, Bruce Buell, anyone, what we all agree on is the sticking point is the state's requirement for bonding, interim bonding for the collection system, a potential bond which could be in the neighborhood of $60 to $70 million. Going out to the financial community to seek a bond like that, with the financial community aware of the fact that we are in the crosshairs of an $11.19 million potential fine from the regional board, is simply an impossibility. It was very clear that one of two things, either the state staff, when they required that bonding capacity, either one, didn't understand the way financial markets work, or two, it was put in there intentionally, knowing that there was no way that this CSD could obtain bonding capacity for $60 to $70 million. In other words, it was put in there specifically to kill that deal and make it impossible. So whatever it is, that's the impossibility that kills, that makes the version 2.0 final offer a non-starter at the get-go. It's just an impossibility. It's not TRIW.
Thank you. Mr. Blesky?
I'd like to point out a couple of issues since we've brought up the a couple of these points. The state also wanted us to give up this community to give up their rights to appeal and claim. Now there's two things that are absolutely outrageous about that. And one of them is that a lot of these fees that have been paid right now are predicated on before the September 27th election and post-September 24th election. You can divide up what the state has done wrong both ways. If it's not obvious that the state failed miserably, I mean, it is disgusting, their failure for oversight. And I may be a little bit emphatic about this because I've been entrusted with literally hundreds of millions of dollars in federal equipment and funds in my career, and literally hundreds of lives. And if the state can't execute a little patience by seven stinking days, that is a failure of oversight. And then they have the unmitigated gall to come back and tell you have to give up your rights. That's pre-27th. The state has no right under its contracts or contract law, especially if we can get this in front of the 10th Circuit on the federal docket for government contract appeals. They have no right to dictate a unilateral change order. They have no right to do that, and they know it. That's why they're dictating it.
I think Director Sennett's comments before about using a hammer to build things or bash somebody's head in, well, if it's not clear what the state's intent is to do, then I think we better invest in some kind of a hard hat. I mean, I'm outraged at the loss of insight into what the state has done. I've never seen in almost 30 years of having to deal with civil servants and elected officials who are competent in what they do that would treat the very citizens of a community in this nation this way.
Okay, thank you. I broke my rule there. No, I'm sorry, I lost it there. 22 meetings, sorry. No applause, please, if we could just keep it calm. But that was a very impassioned speech and seemed appropriate. So thank you. Mr. Swanson.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. I guess what needs to be reminded over and over again, and I guess Mr. Blesky kind of put it so well, Measure B, passed by the voters of this community. You guys were elected by the majority of those who voted to change the board. It's interesting that Ms. Albright failed to tell you that she filed a lawsuit challenging Measure B. But it's okay if she uses the legal recourse to go her way, but it's not okay for the citizens or other citizens to do the same. And it's nice to hear Mr. Edge come in here and speak to kind of clarify to the community the democratic process, that the people voted for a change. And I think that the change that's happened here, even with all the events that have occurred, is a blessing in disguise for this community. I think we have hit a wall. And I think we hit a wall when this project changed from ponds to the current project that we could not afford a sewer in Los Osos. And especially not this sewer. We have been burdened by many, many years of not doing anything but the county allowing this community to build on to where we are today. But I think if you look at what we're looking at now at about $40,000, $50,000 with interest for each property owner, I think we may be faced with, hopefully with the alternative analysis, is maybe an on-site system for each home. And if we're looking at around $15,000 per home, that's a lot cheaper, and we could pay it off a lot sooner than 20 to 30 years. And what does it do? It cleans the water before it goes into the ground. You can use the water to irrigate, so we're taking care of reclaiming the water, recharging the upper aquifer, and we create a project to pump the upper aquifer for ag exchange. It seems to me that answers more of the questions without the burden that we're faced with this project. And this project was dead when it was proposed. And that's why it received the opposition that it has all along. And the old board failed to heed the community's wishes to move the sewer, change the project, and that's why we are here today. And I think everyone needs to respect, whether you like it or not, or whether you voted for the president or not, that's who got elected, and that's the way it's going to be. So, and then to try and dissolve the CSD, again, I'm going to just repeat it. It's a complete hypocrisy. This group was wanting better, cheaper, faster did not achieve it, and now they don't like it.
Thank you, Mr. Swanson. Mr. Sennett.
Mr. Swanson, I'd like to ask you to clarify something. You said you were opposed to a sewer in town. Did you mean the sewer plant, treatment plant, or a sewer
system? I'm not opposed to a sewer, but not this particular sewer specifically because it's in the middle of town. But if we had to do a sewer, if we had to create this monstrosity and this bureaucracy, I would prefer it out of town. But I think we're at the point right now that we have to look at something totally affordable. And I think the only thing at this point is possibly on site.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Okay, next speaker, please.
Hi.
Hi, Petey Los Osos. I just want to say Arnie and I support you, and I just wanted to keep it short. Maybe not so sweet.
Thank you. Okay, next speaker, please. Shortest speech of the night.
Good evening, President Schicker, board members, and community. Chuck Varela, 28-year Los Osos resident. On the website, it appeared that you had a two-minute comment, so that's what I came prepared for, but I do have additional comments besides my written text. And the first one is that it's no wonder that the state has modified their position since they were responding to this board's bait and switch and the disingenuous negotiations that they had over the loan. All the while, you guys were always thinking of moving the sewer, and that surely came out in your meetings prior to the loan review. Although not explicit, there was always that innuendos left. Regardless, when each member of this board took their oath of office, you swore to be in the community's public stewards, inclusive but not limited to our best interest and monies. To that end, you have failed beyond comprehension. With the help of your out-of-town high-priced experts, which I am compelled to refer to them as carpetbaggers, you are bleeding the community dry. Noting their comments and actions, a future of litigation is what's in store for us. When our funds are depleted, they will return to Southern California with their exorbitant wages intact, and we will be left with years of debt and still be without a sewer. Why did our community have to learn at last week's Regional Water Control Board about Measure B's $125,000 settlement that you agreed to with Al Barrows and Case? Were these not the same people that Lisa and Julie, you were secretly removing documents from CSD office to support Mr. Barrows and the case with Measure B? The appearance of impropriety is certainly intact. I recall an instance when Julie and Lisa ruthlessly chastised Bruce Buell for spending $500 on a sewer project sign. However, during this new board's tenure, you have subjected our community to millions of dollars of liability and have stalled the sewer project indefinitely. It is imperative to listen to all that purport that the Tri-W Sewer Project is in our best interest. This would include the various state and county agencies, all the past citizens of the year, County Supervisor Bianchi, and recognized industry professionals that have stated the Tri-W Project is viable. Thank you.
Okay, that's enough. No clapping, just the hand-waving stuff again. And then, wait a second. I have something to... Okay, Vice President Fouché, go ahead.
Just quickly, Mr. O, I've heard this a couple of times about the carpet bagging and our general manager, interim general manager, and our attorneys coming from out of town. There's no doubt they're from out of town. But sometimes that's where you have to go to find the people that you need to fill a position quickly in an interim fashion, which these folks have done for us. I would like to mention also that I thought John Seitz and Bruce Buell did a I appreciate the job they did last week at the Regional Water Quality Control Board. I thought they were very good, and they said the right things, and they defended us in a very professional manner. But I'd also like to say that Bruce is not from Los Osos. Mr. Buell came in and moved to Los Osos to do this job. That's why he came here. Same reason these guys are over here. They came here, and they were brought in to do this job from out of town. Bruce has his house up for sale, is what I understand. So I understand that he's leaving Los Osos pretty quick. So his tenure here in Los Osos has been to do this wastewater project. So if you want to call, you know, look at the carpet bagging aspects of anybody, Bruce is right there too. He was here to make a living, get a project done. And, you know, that's just the way life is. So some of those accusations out there, they just ring unfounded to me. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just wanted to add one more comment. There's no secret documents going out of the district. I wouldn't be moving paper in and out of the office on a weekend afternoon if they were secret. There is no secret documents. They're all public records, and I have a house full of them and a car full of them and an office. I mean, I've got paper everywhere. I'm just trying to get a handle on the project and do my homework. So just wanted to clear that up as well. Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Lou Tornatsky, about ready to celebrate the first Christmas in the Prohibition Zone. It's been a wonderful several months. I want to make a few comments just about professionalism on the part of the board and the part of your staff. I'm not going to get into where the sewer should be. It can be in Steve's backyard, as far as I'm concerned, as long as it's not my staff backyard. There you go. You're volunteering, I hope. One of the themes I've heard in public comment over and over again is, well, what are the alternatives? What are the alternatives in terms of the technology? What are the alternatives in terms of location? What are the technology options, the engineering options, and so on? People have requested that continuously since I've been coming to these meetings, and your staff, your hired staff, has not come up with that. You know, this is really a fairly simple exercise in spreadsheet gymnastics. There's only so many options about how you sort of treat waste. There are costs to run pipe. There are costs of anticipated litigation. There is the cost of money, which obviously is going to change because we've essentially lost the state monies. There's the cost of materials, maybe continuing to be influenced by a war by another public official who didn't listen to reason. Why don't we have that? It's been asked again and again. This is not an analytic exercise. This is basically pulling stuff off the internet. That's not what people want to say. See, I think you ought to treat people like rational, intelligent adults. Show us all the options. Show them how much they're going to cost. I mean, cheaper, faster, better. It's not going to be faster. It's going to take time to come up with alternatives. Well, that gives me another 60 seconds. Okay. I really plead for that because it actually might sort of take some of the edge off of these meetings. Some other things would take the edge off. Don't just sort of rule on clapping and so on and applause. Rule about the nature of people's comments. I've heard your supporters uniformly castigate and commit character assassination on the old board. People on the other side character assassinate you, and so on and so forth. Why don't you just rule those people out of order and ask them to sit down? Merry Christmas.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker.
Ted Peterson, Los Osos. First of all, I would like to congratulate you on really biting a very tough bullet. I know you didn't want to pay out $125 to settle or $125,000 to settle anything, but as I saw the thing that was presented, we were faced with either paying out $125,000 or $500,000. Well, you took the right course. It's a hard decision to make. You made it. Congratulations. I think we're being very well represented by the consultants that we've brought in from out of town. I think we will get a good plan out of this. And as far as, people castigating the board and castigating and things, it was H.L. Mencken who wrote that his job was to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And when you stepped up to this plate, and just as the old board members did, you kind of exposed yourself as a public official to take a few shots, you know, and that's just, it's going to be that way. I think that I personally, I mean, over the time, I like the original plan that the Solutions Group came up with, a ponding system and a structured wetlands in the center of town. If we could somehow figure out how to do that, I'd go for it. But if we can't, if we have to go with a very high-priced technology, with NBR systems, with a lot of chemicals, with all the extra ramifications that come with that type of treatment, I suggest we get it as far away from town as possible. So that's my read on that. You're going to take some more shots. My personal opinion is everybody's predicting how the board's going to be and how the state board's going to be and how you're going to get fined. Let's see, Measure B was going to fail and all these other things were going to happen. Not one of them has come true. So operate as you've been operating. And don't forget, you guys won. You won the election. Please act like winners. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Dugan?
Dave Dugan, Water Warrior, Vigilante, Pro-Growth, Republican, and resident of Los Osos. First, I would like to congratulate John Seitz on a clear and decisive victory over the Regional Water Quality Control Board staff and the discrediting of their trumped-up case against the Los Osos CSD. I realize the battle is not over, and the special interest that prompted the false case against the Los Osos CSD is hard at work trying to mount a counterattack in the form of the disillusionment of the Los Osos CSD. The regional board is not done yet either. It's clear they are not the impartial judges they are supposed to be. The questioning of certain witnesses in response of the cross-examination by the prosecution team was definitely staged, and they evidently were clearly coached. I also don't trust the answers that were given today at the SLOC supervisors meeting concerning staff and the move to dissolve the Los Osos CSD. Trust but verify would normally be the watchword. But remember, a snake is a snake. And our own district supervisor bit us once. Once bitten, twice shy, as the saying goes. I believe they thought we would fall for their assurances that they wouldn't help others to move against the Los Osos CSD. I believe the threats from person in that body still exist. I also want to point out that Measure B 05 is a legal ordinance and that it calls for the cancellations of all wastewater project contracts, and this board is delinquent in carrying out that portion of the ordinance. The reason no other contractors bid on the wastewater project was because they understood the repercussions of taking on a project that would be doomed by Measure B 5. The current contractors knew too. I believe they got sold the idea that the recall and Measure B 05 would be defeated. This was a gamble on their part and not good business sense. I will also repeat my comments to the SLO supervisors this morning. The more people try to stop the implementation of Measure B 05, the longer it will be before any progress will be made and the more agony it will cause this community. The sooner Measure B 05 is implemented, the sooner we as a community can move forward in building a wastewater project. Litigation just means more delay. More delay just means lost time and more lost dollars. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker, Ms. Burke.
Diane Burke, President Chica and the board. I just want to say how much we appreciate you, my husband and I. And I wanted to clarify a few over-exaggerated falsehoods which have become statements due to misuse and repetition. During my residency in the same house for 20 years, I've never witnessed raw sewage running in any of the streets of Los Osos, not ever. During rains, newspapers annually report that Morro Bay Estuary has been and is polluted, not by our septic tanks, but from CMC and Morro Bay failed sewers. There was never a vote on sewer site or design by or for the people, not Tri-W, nor any other site. The proverbial wolf is howling at our door, and we little piggies are in jeopardy as he threatens to blow our houses down. Individuals who constantly repeat unfounded opinion as fact aid and abet the wolf. You betray the very community you say you love. Perhaps collecting on your bond investment is more of a priority than concerning yourself with what is right for your community. Those 4,700 of us mandated to repay the huge loan of $135 million for every Los Osian was never an option, which is why the past board was recalled. We deserve a functional, sustainable wastewater system, which I know you guys want to bring forward, benefiting every person in the whole community without financially breaking anyone. We have but one water basin serving all who draw from it, north to south, west to east. Everybody is responsible for what goes into this basin. The regional board drew a line in the sand, making only 4,700 financially and morally responsible. This line in the sand has promoted new construction outside the boundaries, just when our water supply is dwindling rapidly. How nonsensical is this? We need to rein in new development and introduce water conservation and smaller homes. Finally, any individual who is not 100% positively supportive of these five directors befriends the wolf, thereby facilitating the exploitation of Los Osos and our beautiful environment. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Burke. Next speaker, please. Very nice. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, board. My name is Peter Brewer, and I just real quick so read something here from fall 2004, the water board, I guess it's the regional water board. On the other hand, dramatically increasing tank pumping to prevent discharge into leach fields, groundwater, would improve water quality. However, this would entail using the septic tanks as a holding tank and pumping every 2 days. This type of septic tank failure in Los Osos is not particularly amenable to improvement through implementation of a septic tank maintenance program. And that's what the Regional Water Board said. I have this magazine here. I guess it's on-site waste treatment systems. And I had the page here a second ago. Basically, it says here, on-site systems, especially the newer models, are powerful enough to discharge water clean enough to drink. I repeat that. On-site systems, especially newer models, are powerful enough to discharge water clean enough to drink. Now, I went to the water board meeting on Thursday, I guess, and watched their presentation, which was similar to Rob Miller's presentation about the pollution, I guess, the nitrate levels. They had a map that showed dark areas bad, light areas good. Rob Miller actually did all his homework. He went through and measured all the wells, had all the statistics for each and every one. I wasn't impressed. I mean, you know, dark, light. I mean, come on, guys. Geez. They're out to, it sounds like they're just out to make Los Osos build a sewage treatment plant, not to get the water clean or do anything else. It's just you have to have a plant because everyone else does. That seems really silly to me, but hey, I don't know. Anyway, that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Vice President Fouché.
Just to follow up on what the gentleman just talked about at the water board meeting with Rob Miller's presentation, the information he got from that was from the nitrate monitoring program that's been going on for
3 years.
It also included data from older reports from when we were not a board. It was coming from CESA 9, I believe is what it was called. But anyway, those graphs are all attached to the water quality monitoring reports. And it's a matter of just extracting that data and putting it on a graph. Those graphs show that our nitrates have been pretty flat as far as there's no increasing trends of nitrate concentrations, and Rob showed that at the meeting. And Bruce Buell verified that. He said the same thing. And the report reflects that. If you read it, there's text in there that says that. If you can read the graphs, they show the same thing. So that was an important fact that came out of that meeting, the last week, was the fact that nitrate concentrations have been stable for several years, and there are no increasing trends. One other important fact that came out of that meeting was from Bruce Buell saying that the time scheduler was unreasonable to do a project of this magnitude in a highly environmentally sensitive community, coastal community of Los Osos, in a time frame of less than 5 years. is unreasonable. And when something is unreasonable, failures occur. I do public works projects. I do major public works projects for a living. 5-year time frame is, if you can get a project out and built in 5 years, by golly, you've done something incredible. And not as complicated as putting a sewer system in an environmentally sensitive coastal community. To expect a community and somebody to be able to do that and not expect failure, or if not failure, problems, is unreasonable. And that schedule, unbeknownst to me, that was placed on us by the State Water Resources Control Board, the ones that have the purse strings, the ones that control the money. They're the ones that said that we had to do that and meet that schedule. We agreed to it because we had to get the SRF loan. There's no choice in the matter. And we argued that point. Now, when I say we, I mean the old board, Bruce Buell and the old board argued that's unreasonable. We can't do it that fast. So what happens when you do something, try to do something that fast, and you don't get all the stakeholders to the table and get buy-in and consensus early on in the project? You sit here today with the problems that we have. And that's why we're here today. And that's why we're having the problems that we are having today. The projects that we do, as my other job, my day job at Caltrans, we do something that's called context-sensitive solutions. We get all the stakeholders as much as we can on board early on in the process, so you flush out the problems that we're having today. And you don't fight these things at the end of the project. You fight them, you discuss them, you put them on the table, and resolve as many issues as you can early on, so you don't sit here at design and have these kind of problems. And that's why we are here today. The schedule was just too darn fast, and it created problems. And here we sit today. So it's there's a lot of finger-pointing going around out there in the community. And I get a little defensive sometimes when we're being when things are being said that aren't quite accurate. And the community has, and I'm sure you do, you must understand that we are here today because of these reasons. And we're hoping that we can come to some, we've been working an amazing amount of hours and an awful lot of effort to get the state to just work with us and keep the loan so we can get through this process in a reasonable way that will satisfy the community's goals, our groundwater goals, our water quality goals, and do it correctly and as least expensive as we can. That's what we've been trying to do, and we've been between a rock and a hard place trying to get that done. And the reason because of that is because of Measure B and what that is doing to us with the SRF loan. We are tied, our hands are tied in some ways that it's been real difficult to try to come up with some kind of a consensus between all parties to try to get the right thing done. And I think I had an interesting discussion with one of the board members after the meeting last week. And he says, you know, we're all trying to do the same thing. We're all headed towards the same goal. We're just going down different paths. There's a lot of intelligence in this room. We ought to be able to do something to make this happen. And I'm hoping that we still can get there. We're going to find out Friday as far as that SRF loan. We're still fighting for that. We are still having negotiations. We're having structured talks and discussions with the contractors, with Blakesley's office. And I've been making phone calls, though they won't admit it, up to the State Water Board, trying to save that loan and keep this project moving forward. So, you know, I just want people to understand that. I mean, it's something that's not... we're not on sitting here on this board trying to conspire and do backroom deals and all these other shenanigans that people are pointing fingers at us. We're just trying to get this project done and get it behind us so this community can be a community again. Because as far as I'm concerned, I want to get this thing behind me and move on and enjoy my life. And I think this community wants to do the same thing. We've been talking about this for way too long. We got to get the job done. And that's what I want to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President. Director Decker.
John, thank you. That was really telling. And what It brought a question to my mind, and all four of you could probably answer it. When you have that stakeholder meeting early on in a project and you proceed, if it looks like something isn't right, do you balk and bring those stakeholders back to a table? Do you abandon a project? Do you change course? Or do you continue to proceed with what you've already decided or what you see is the wrong project? That's best for you to answer, but I somehow doubt that our state dollars would allow Caltrans to put in millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of projects throughout our state and not change course when the course is clearly not going to work. It's really an open question to all of you.
Well, we could go on and on, and we have to adjourn at 10 o'clock for our closed session meeting, and I'd like to carry on that conversation at a later time, but really the question, Director Fouché said it just really well. We've got problems today because of the push and the shove, and we explained that to the Water Board, too. It's very obvious to all of us what happened to the old board and to our board as well. So there are reasons why this should have been stopped a couple of years ago, and it wasn't, and it partly was due to the pushing of the Regional Water Board and an unrealistic time schedule order. It's quite obvious that it was never realistic for anybody. And no other community has ever been asked to do such a thing in such a short amount of time. So why were we? Okay, let's go back to public comment, if you don't mind. And like I said, we're going to adjourn at 10 o'clock. So if you want to get up, I'd like to see about how many more people want to speak. So I can, okay. Just one, you know, we got about 15 minutes left. So please come up. Thank you. Yes, Mr. Ellaby.
Don't start my time yet. Got some new specs today. Okay, Chris Ellaby, Los Osos. The former board ran on a platform against the MBR and or county disposal system. The county supervisor we had before them ran on an anti-MBR disposal system and won the election twice on that issue. He fled to Santa Barbara on the formation of the CSD in 1998. The former board handed out tens of thousands of dollars in single bid or no bid contracts. The pre-election bulldozing contest was unconscionable. The incident at Sea Pines where Mr. Buell and Mr. Drake et al. Physically prevented two of our board members from attending a contractor's meeting was probably criminal. And now we have missing records to contend with. Missing computers out of the business office at Sunnyside. Through their bungling, we're facing a stinky, sludge-producing mess that we at least have a chance of moving out of town. This board, our present board elected here, is the most professional you could ask for. Any one of them know more about wastewater systems than our entire board combined the last time around. The former board basically turned their duties over to staff, mainly consisting of Mr. Buell, and blew our money on surveys and consultants. Now, after the last election here, I sort of publicly warned everybody that we'd have a real problem with this. The state agencies, courts, whatever, were going to give us a bad time, and it appears that they are. But I think they were. I think we'll prevail. One thing that's always troubled me about some of the older dreamers is that I worked with them years ago to get Bud Laurent elected as county supervisor, and his entire position was against the county sewer, which they all seem to be for now. My time's up. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker.
Hello. My name is Kathy Bonnet. I missed a good portion of this meeting this morning, or this afternoon, this evening, because I had a family obligation. So I didn't hear your explanation of the $125,000 payoff. I want to tell you, I felt really betrayed when I heard about it. I had been trying my best to support you, and I'm assuming that you have a good explanation for it, and I'll be looking for that, but I want you to know I really did feel betrayed. I hope that I'm going to hope that the five of you look to all the experts that are out there and don't just stay with the people that have been saying what you want to hear, but look and listen to everybody that has knowledge and scientific information. I don't know if that makes any sense, but what I'm trying to say is don't just listen to the people that you think are on your side, but listen to everybody and not have this dreamer, nightmare type thing going on in your mind. Also, I have one more question. My street's torn up. How long is it going to be torn up? I don't know if you can answer that. Is it going to be torn up for, I mean, if the sewer's not going to happen for a long time, how long is my street going to be torn up?
Your street is, what is your street?
16th.
Do you have any other?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Bonnet. Do you have any more comments that you'd like to make?
No.
Okay.
Don't have an answer
to that. Wait, just a minute. Finishing comments and then answering afterwards. Okay, Mr. Blesky.
Yes, Madam President. We've been talking to the county and also the contractors about what's the best way to approach the repair of the streets. And the contractors have come up with it because of the payment issue right now and the SRF funding being so uncertain. And I think it's quite understandable that they have some concerns. The only fallback plan we have, though, is a protective bond, but I don't think that that's going to cover all of the costs. The bottom line is discussions are still ongoing. We have December 16th, according to the county, that they want to have action by, so we're pursuing that, and we'll have more to report on as things progress here in the near term.
Right, and thank you. Ms. Bonnet, in the interest of time, because we're adjourning at 10 o'clock, watch the tape. We have a detailed explanation of the 125 settlement, and if you still have questions, please call the staff and get your questions answered. Okay, thank you. Next speaker, please. Oh, I'm sorry, Director Sestanian.
Yeah, I would just like to remind the audience it's getting a little loud out there, and you might be getting restless, but please try and keep it quiet. Be respectful of the people who are at the podium, and listen, we might all learn something.
Yes, Mr. Hunter.
Good evening, Jack Hunter, Los Osos. I'll make my remarks brief. I just want to point out something I've observed over time. When it comes to decision-making, you have two choices, basically. You can make decisions for the long term, and your life tends to get better, or you can make them for the short term, and your life tends to get worse. I want to thank this board for taking the long view. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Payne?
Good evening, President Schicker, board members, staff, and general public. I was home watching this thing. I wasn't going to come in here and waste your time and waste my breath, but I couldn't stand it. There's so much misinformation spread out here, and a lot of it, you'll notice, is printed in big block letters with double or triple spacing, so it's easy to read, but those people never turn that in. It says here, if you're going to read something, by the way, this is the agenda. I'm not reading off of it, that you're supposed to turn it in. So anyway, the reason I'm here is this misinformation, and even Chris just a minute ago talking about the county having an MBR. MBR didn't come into this project that we got now till about May of 2003. So anyway, and the reason that came in, by the way, there's two changes that happened in this experimental project. Number one, we were patterned after Pacifica, which suddenly has odor problems. And Roger Briggs predicted that we'd have odor problems having this thing in the middle of town. And so here we are. We got, I don't know how many thousand dollars, million dollars worth of odor control stuff designed into the plant, and still it's not good enough. So we go from AEQ sludge, which is, according to Mr. Highland, the reason that Pacifica stinks is because they're heating the sludge, trying to dry it, and they are producing AEQ sludge, which is what Montgomery Watson promised this community when they started in here. They told them that's what we want. And they also told them we're going to recharge the groundwater. So Mr. Barrows brought some people in that talked about Title 22. None of us heard of Title 22. Suddenly we got MBR and we got unclassified sludge because it doesn't stink when it's 80% moisture. And the Regional Quality Control Board went right out in collusion and issued Engel and Gray a permit to spread this stuff on open 40-acre field when their own requirements for anything over 50% requires a contained lined pond or a tank with a place for the leachate to settle out and either be gravitated off into a tank or pumped off into a tank and tested and then taken to a sewer plant and disposed of in a sanitary method. So this is the reason we have this expensive project that doesn't do what Montgomery Watson said they were going to do, an 800,000 gallons of water into a sand dune with residences below it as close as 450 feet. I'd like to see any one of them board members on the state or the regional have that much water dumped above their house. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Payne. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, Board. I'm Ann Tiber, live in Baywood Park, and I want to thank you all for the work you're doing. I know it is excruciating. I want to encourage the public who listen to this, I'm sure most of us on TV, to be more patient with this board because it takes time, and we've had many people talking about how much time it takes to do a project, and this has been such a mess that you have to have time. Third, I want to second Mr. Keith Swanson's remarks tonight. From the beginning, I have hoped for a very much more progressive system for this intelligent community, and the on-site systems that I've been hearing about have just been mentioned briefly in the newspaper and occasionally by some people, and I'm hoping that you can get to that and bring it before the board, before us some night soon, so that people can hear what great advantages there are to that. We all know this isn't going to be cheap, and we will be able to find ways, I'm sure, when this town can come together with something that is in our own backyards, literally, and is environmentally sustainable. Thank you very much for all you're doing.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jones.
Michael Jones, Lososos. This is my first comment with a timer light, so if it goes to red before I'm finished, Lisa, might I ask if I could borrow your gavel so I can go to work on your light? I think this light is a good idea. I also like Mr. Blesky's idea of the three-minute mic shutoff. It would be a bit more rude, but probably a lot more effective. My idea is to have a three-minute trap door where after 3 minutes you could just push a button and send the person to China. I'm sure I'd be the first offender, and you'd probably only have to use it once. I've watched parts of the water board meeting from the last week and never been able to attend a water board meeting or go to Sacramento because of my work. But I recall on more than one occasion over the last year, our people attending these meetings warned the water board that the community did not support the Tri-W sewer and that there was a pending recall election and that loaning us money or increasing the amount of a loan for a project that the community did not support would be a serious mistake. The response from the water board was always the same. If you want a new project, elect a new CSD board. One of the water board members last week admitted making the statement to Director Schicker and Tacker, but went on to suggest that just because we took their advice and elected a new CSD still doesn't mean that the water board can't fine us. I guess I just don't get it. On the advice of the Water Board, our community elected a new CSD that supports an out-of-town pond, and they still want to fine us? On September 27th, Los Osos voted for a new government and a new project. Instead of a fine, we should get a new time schedule. Now, regarding the SRF loan, I thought of this analogy. Let's say you're a lender and someone comes to you for an auto loan. To get a loan, you usually have to fill out an application. We've all had to fill out these applications. There's lots of personal information like employer and salary. So as the lender, you decide to verify this information by calling the applicant's employer. And you discover that in 2 months, the applicant may no longer be employed. What lender in their right mind would approve this loan? I understand we have some federal oversight coming in to investigate what's taken place over the past year. I can't wait to see what a fresh set of eyes has to say about the screwed up process that's taken place over the last few years. The people of Los Osos have not been misleading or deceptive to our government. It's the government that has been misleading and deceptive and disingenuous to the people of Los Osos. They can take our money and they can try and fine us, but there is one thing they cannot have. They cannot take our freedom. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker, please.
I'm Nancy Anzalone, and I have property both here in the town, and I also have property on the outside of town. And as far as I can see, I think to have the sewer right here in town is the best. I know that no one here would like to know that they are going to have sewerage in their front yard, and that's what I do not want.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson. Dealing with the settlement, the only comment I'm going to make is, I guess pro bono doesn't mean pro bono anymore. And for those people that extolled the virtues of Bruce and John Seitz at the hearing on Thursday and Friday, yeah, I think Mr. Seitz did do a good job. But I also think they missed a few areas where, you know, interim council has only been here a short time. John Seitz has been here for 6 years, and I believe he dropped the ball on the issue where Laurie Okun was trying to convince the board that the $4 million in the coffers right now is district funds and is not tied to the SRF loan. That's completely false. And they kept using the words reimbursement. It's not a reimbursement. And Bruce knew that, and Bruce, during his comments, never brought it up. And when I brought it up during public comment, I heard from other people, and I think Julie even mentioned it, that Bruce was shaking his head yes right off to my side as I was making that comment. So, you know, if we want to get into their presentation, there's a couple areas where I think they dropped the ball. I also think they dropped the ball when Rob Miller was asked about his stance on a project, and the answer was yes. Well, I think Mr. Seitz should have come back with, but if you believe that, do you also believe that we have time with the nitrate studies showing a leveling off? If we implemented some water conservation, some pumping of groundwater, things like that, would we have the time to implement a new project, to look at alternatives? So, I mean, and getting Bruce back in the district, let's remember, you know, we have all of the videotapes of all the finance and emergency services committees. And there's one where Bruce recommended to the finance committee not to implement the increased level of service and was going to leave this community in a 3-month lapse of the level of service we have now. And it took board members from the public, Mr. Dietz, Mr. Golden, and Mr. Hunter, who's here in the room, and certain members of the public, one who actually got thrown out of a meeting, to bring that, to make sure that didn't happen. Mr. Buell is also responsible for our current water conservation program and our current lack of water conservation. And one last thing, Lisa, I just need 10 more seconds. Phil Benares got up here and talked about Operation Santa Claus. Let's not forget Toys for Tots, the Maxine Lewis Homeless Shelter, Prado Daycare Center, the food banks, and any of the other charities in the community, and put your extra change or dollar bills or fives in the little red pots around town. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Margetson. I'm going to close public comment and ask for director comments at this time. And then we're going to be going into closed session. So, do directors have any closing comments about the meeting tonight that you'd like to make this time? Director Tacker?
About a month ago at Sunnyside, I felt compelled to tell you why I thought there was a Measure B. And when we... You might remember that it was pretty recent history that I was thinking about in the appeals processes and the Coastal Commission and those things. But in the last few weeks, as we've put together documents for the Water Board, and we're talking about a 30-year history or a 20-year history and all these, the longevity of the Los Osos sewer issue, I realized that Measure B... The reason for Measure B and the need for it has been around all along. And the Turie Road sewer was to have been built off of Turie Road. There were problems with that site. It was prime coastal ag land, so very valuable soils. It's protected under the Williamson Act. In a floodplain, and it had red-legged frogs. So it wasn't a viable site. And, of course, you hear now, in hindsight, oh, we shoulda built it there. No, we should not have built it there. Some 10 years later, when the county proposed the Pismo site, that site, next to the middle school, it's not appropriate next to the middle school, it's got an arc two culturally sensitive archaeological sites. They're very significant to the history and ancestry of Los Osos. It's Esha, and it's very healthy Esha, and it should have been protected. So Pismo was not an appropriate site. Measure B, in both of those cases, would have prevented a sewer proposed at those sites. Tri-W is probably the worst choice ever. I don't know if you could get any worse. Maybe at Bonds. the downtown components, of course, all the relations to the community hub. I hear some people say that the Tri-W site is not the downtown. Well, it might not be downtown to someone who lives in the 1100 block of 18th Street, but it certainly is downtown to somebody who lives off of Pecho Valley Road, and they have to pass it. It is downtown. The Tri-W site is a drainage basin, and it is Esha. It's a coastal resource. So a siting ordinance should have been considered long, long ago, and I do not regret that we have settled the case, accepted Measure B as law, and we're going to live by it. We're going to live by it because the voters voted for it. You made the law. The people are moving the sewer. It's not this board. You voted for Measure B, and the people of Los Osos are moving the sewer, and I'm very proud to be on this board and vote for a sewer out of town. And we'll bring you a better project. And we've had a lot of complications thrown up in front of us, but we kind of know where those came from. It's a lot of baggage. There's a lot of baggage. One thing I would like to do is a septic tip. good information about your septic tip is transferable to your sewer plant. And what's that? Oh, sorry. If you take good care of your septic tank, you're also going to be taking care of good care of your sewer plant. And I have a teenage daughter, and then I have long hair of my own, and I wanted to talk about hair. Ew. Don't throw hair down the drain. Don't let it go there. Or your toilet. Don't let it go down the drain. When it goes in a septic tank, this is the magic of a septic tank, it actually gets kind of eaten up, and it's better taken care of there than in a sewer plant. In a sewer plant, we have to pay somebody, and we have equipment that then has to screen it out, and it then has to be disinfected and then thrown in the trash. So don't throw hair down any drains or toilets. Thank you.
You're going to end with that?
I'm ending with
okay.
that.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay. Vice President Fouché, do you have any more? Okay.
You can't talk.
Vice President Fouché, do you have a water? You have to think of your water tip while we're going around. Okay. Director Sennett?
An advantage to being bald. I don't know. I feel kind of tired right now because I feel beat up, and I think of why we're going through this exercise at this time, and the premature actions that were taken by the previous CSD and the State Board. Our previous counsel and general manager representing us at the hearing, I was very surprised to hear some of the things that they brought up, and the defective nature of the time schedule order that not even John Seitz was really aware of. That's how buried it seemed to be, and it was hidden from view of the public. It wasn't noticed to us. And to chase the progress of a project with that type of prod is unconscionable, and it definitely resulted in a lot of problems. It's a very complex project, and there are, I believe, other things that were involved. But here we are today, and one of the reasons I feel so beat up is that there are claims that we're trying to scuttle the SRF loan. And if you look at the states negotiating with us, the way they conducted themselves, from the onset it seemed honorable, but from there it went down. When you look at, or you just listen to their best final offer. Well, if there's best, you mean there is a worse one? If it's their final offer, was there an initial offer? They deny all of that. And it really shows their, I don't know, a lack of response to our needs. It's very discouraging, and these are some of the reasons I feel so beat up. Come on, sympathy. No, and you know, I know everybody in town feels beat up too. We're going through a lot of changes and uncertainties, and it's somewhat frightening because I'm hopeful of the outcome. But it could go anyway, and based on that, we could be in for a stormy season, or we can work it out and come out with some positive things and possibly get some of our project built and a better technology at a better location built to support it. Some people think that if we start all over again, that's the best thing. I can't say it. I tend to take, I don't know, according to Jack, Jack Hunter, the more immediate and less painful route. Well, I think there are compromises, and if where we can compromise to ease pain, I think that's a way we need to consider. There's an element of compromise which lends itself to a political solution that sometimes requires expediency, but certainly not at the expense of a very destructive project. So these are the things we're contemplating, and it's a very difficult time for me, and I'm sure many people in this community share the same things, along with staff and the rest of the board. And thank you, and I look forward to uplifting holiday, and I pray that everybody can kind of separate and divorce themselves from these really bad feelings and realize when you are at home and even when you see your fellow citizens that you can appreciate what we do have and with hope that we'll be back together again, not thinking about anything when we flush our toilets. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Sasania.
Everybody's feeling pretty beat up, I know, over the effort that went into the Regional Water Quality Control Board hearings. Maybe I'm just the eternal optimist, but I do feel good about what we're doing because I think long term. I want to think about the water supply for this town, saltwater intrusion, stopping that. I want to think about keeping it a good place to live. I think that the water boards learned something. I know I learned something in those past couple of days. I didn't ever realize that it was the original SRF loan that tied us to that time schedule order. I'd heard for years and years about the previous board and the regional board kind of pointing the finger back at each other. No, it was your time. No, it was your time schedule. It was the state board and that loan. And that's what locked us into that. And that I think we should still be looking at in terms of on-site systems, that kind of thing. But I was willing to do that because I knew that it would bring the community together. And unfortunately, that failed. We do keep those things in mind. I want to thank everybody who came up with some Christmas spirit and cheer tonight. And I really hope that we continue to try and run civil meetings, refrain from mentioning names, even if you think you have a very legitimate point to make. Let's not point fingers and blame and shame, because that doesn't get us anywhere. Right now, we need to dig in and keep moving. And I appreciate all of you being here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. My just brief comments, thank you all again for coming, and thanks to all our staff and directors for being here too. And just to echo what Director Sasania said and what Mr. Tarnowski brought up, I thought it was good points about the character assassinations, and that's just what Director Sasania said. It was a very good point, and I think all of us can do that. I think we can all commit to doing that, and we're going to need each other to watch each other on those things. Emotions run high, and it happens, but it'd be much better if it didn't happen. We'd get a lot better. We'd start building that community that we all really want, and I totally support mediation before lawsuits. And somebody tonight said we've chosen a path of lawsuits, and unfortunately, we were brought to that path of lawsuits. These are all reactions to lawsuits that have been filed in the past 3 or 4 years. When I got involved, I said, let's not do lawsuits. Let's do mediation instead. I'm not naive. I know they occur. But I surely would appreciate mediation before lawsuits, and that will be our goal as soon as we can mop up the mess, clean up the mess. We're in a mess from the state lack of oversight and from the unwillingness to listen. We have to be willing to listen to everybody, not one. There are no sides anymore. We don't need to have sides. We have to listen to everybody. Everybody's opinion is valuable, and I appreciate everybody's opinion. One last thing, Prop B was not an appeal. There's some confusion about that. And again, listen to the tape and hear Mr. McClendon's explanation of what Measure B was and wasn't. And let's stop calling it Measure B when we describe it. It's an environmental and economic siting ordinance. It was an initiative that was passed as a last resort to government not listening to the people. That's what it was about, environmental and economic reasons to move the plant. That was the whole premise of Measure B. Measure B does not explain what it is. What it is was a method to get a plant properly sited for our town that people could live with. And maybe we wouldn't have had to go to initiative if we had done mediation or referendum votes or advisory votes or all the things we've been asking for the last 3 or 4 years. Maybe it would have went another way. And now we're in, as Dr. Frasche said, we're in a mess. The state didn't do good oversight. Dan Blesky explained that. Where was the oversight the past years? And that's what I tried to bring up to the water board last week. Where were you guys? You pushed a time schedule on an order on us that was totally unreasonable. State, your loan was tied to the time schedule order, totally unreasonable. You all have a role in this. It's not just us. It's not just the citizens. We're not to blame here on that. So with that, I'd like to close this meeting just by saying we'll probably have a special meeting next week and we'll have a regular meeting on December 15th. So probably 2 more meetings before Christmas to get business done and to explain what's going on. So, and then we are going to schedule the special meeting in Sacramento this Friday. So with that, I'm going to start closed session. I'm going to read the agenda, and we're going to keep public comment to 1 minute apiece for the closed session items. So here we go. I'm going to read the closed session. Item A, pending litigation, government code 54956.9A. Conference with District Counsel for existing litigation formally initiated. Los Osos Taxpayers Association versus LOCSD and State Water Board in Salo Superior Court, CV 050649, Proposition 218. Second case, LOCSD versus Southern California Water Company in Salo Superior Court, CV 040126. Third case, Lynn Korenbaum versus LOCSD, Bruce Buell, Bruce Pickens, Pat McClenahan, Slo Sia, and Doe's in Slo Superior Court, CV 050689. Gender discrimination, breach of duty representation. Item B, anticipated litigation, government code 54956.9B, conference with district counsel for the following. Significant exposure to litigation, government code 54956.9B3A, 4 cases. Facts and circumstances not known to potential plaintiffs, which indicates significant exposure to litigation. Number 2, significant exposure to litigation, Government Code 54956.9B3B, 2 cases. Facts and circumstances that are known to potential plaintiffs, which indicates significant exposure to litigation. State Water Board, State Water Resources Control Board, Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. Item C, initiation of litigation, Government Code 54956.9C, 2 cases. Item D, personnel, Government Code 54957. Conference with District League Council for the following personnel-related contracts and positions. General Manager, Public Information Officer, Wastewater Projects Coordinator, Wastewater Staffing, Administrative Services Manager. I'd like to open it up to public comment right now. 1 minute apiece, please. First speaker.
I'll be happy to go first. My name is Al Barrow. I understand that there is a lawsuit that the opposition to the district has decided to refile the old district's lawsuit against Measure B. And I just want to say to the public, I certainly hope there's a full legal defense against that. And I would like to let the public know that it's a very foolish move on their part, because if they lose, they will be in the same situation the district in. And I signed away my rights for treble damages for the benefit of the community. They will have treble damages that could be likely awarded to the district against them if they lose in that endeavor. And I know that's going to be talked about a little bit. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Bearden?
Don Bearden, Los Osos. I ask at the public comments section.
Okay. Okay, thank you for your comments. Yes, Mr. Swanson.
No comment, no. I guess on the litigation, I think the community has to understand that you guys are, the potential litigation is one, to fight for the loan, and two, to fight not to fine the community. I don't think that's a bad thing. It's just, we're not going to roll over like the old board did.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Margeson?
Richard Margeson. On this list, if there's a case that I think you may want to consider settling, that I think you may have significant exposure to, it's the Lynn Kornbaum case. As far as the personnel issues, in 2001, the district spent over $95,000. In 2002, it spent over $96,000. In 2003, it spent over $219,000. In 2004, it spent over $181,000 public information. Now we have a public information officer making over $100,000 on a wastewater project that is in limbo. For what he did before the election, and currently the status of the project, it's a total waste of money. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Payne?
Sorry, I thought there was somebody ahead of me. On this Los Osos Taxpayers Association versus LOCSD and the State Water Quality Water Resources Control Board, there's some on a 218. There's some a rumor going around that a 218 vote only needs 50% plus one, and I want to straighten that out. The only time a 218 can go 50% plus one is if personal physical damage can be caused by waiting. In other words, this is emergency to prevent people from getting hurt. It's the only time a 218 is 50%. Plus one. The rest of the time, in order to encumber anybody's property with a tax, you must have a two-thirds majority vote, whether it's a bond issue or an outrageous loan like they're trying to do now. So I wanted to get that through to the public. I will fight if this project is going to be site-specific and technology-specific. I will fight it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else want to comment on public closed session items? The meeting is adjourned. Thank you for coming. Oh, wait a second. Did you have something?
Recessing to closed session.